Am I on? Can you hear me, Doug? Can you hear me okay? Good. Good morning. We appreciate your presence this morning. Certainly hope that things are well with you and your family, and that this morning as we continue our study into the first epistle of Peter, that you will find it edifying, especially since the topic is maturing in the Word. We start the second chapter of Peter, and we've talked about this before, that chapters are artificial. The breaks in the letters are artificial, but they do benefit us in certain ways. But as we start the second chapter of 1 Peter, one of the things we must look at is that Peter starts in a way with the word therefore. And any of you that have heard old-time preachers, you've heard them say anytime there's a therefore, you need to go back and see why it's there for. Am I still not on? How about now? We're on. And so we're going to go back up to verse 25, and we're going to read that, and that'll be part of our lesson this morning, and then the first three verses of chapter 2. The point of the lesson this morning is that Peter is writing to those who are new Christians and even those that are maturing in the Word, and he makes three points. Is that for us to mature in the Word, we must depend on the Word of God, we must desire the Word of God, and we must delight in the Word of God. And that is true of them, but it is also true of us today. That if we are going to mature in God's Word, we have to first depend on God's Word. We must find a place where we begin to desire God's Word, and then we begin to delight in God's Word. Many of us have been in the military, and although it is not a necessarily pleasant thing to remember, we do remember when we were in basic training. And I want to use that as an analogy this morning. When we got to basic training, one of the things that was very obvious to us, that it didn't matter what we knew before we got the basic training, we knew nothing once we got there. And we totally depended on our training instructors to tell us what we needed to know. We were totally dependent on them. Some of you may remember when you got the basic training, they used to call you Rainbow. And the reason that you wore a rainbow is because when you got there, you were wearing all these different color clothes. And that was the worst time at basic training, was to be in a rainbow flight. You would walk by and the other flights would start singing a Jody, Rainbow, Rainbow, where you been? And things like that. And they were talking about you. And they would say, don't worry, because we were once rainbows too. The second part of basic training was 0 week. 0 week was that week when they began to equip you. You didn't have all your uniforms yet. You didn't have your boots yet. It was 0 week. You really weren't doing anything, but you were still dependent upon that training instructor to tell you where to go, how to get there, when to wake up. It didn't matter what time you used to wake up. You were going to wake up at 5:30 every morning. And those of us that had never seen 5:30 in the morning, that was a shock to our system. They told you when to go to bed. You were totally dependent on your training instructor. But then there became a time when actually you began to desire to hear from your training instructor, because you knew he was the one that was going to tell you when it was time to eat. That was a good time. But then you found out you only had 15 minutes to eat, and that was not so good. But after you progressed and you got into 5 and 6 and 7, you began to delight whenever the training instructor would come in and they would inspect your bed and they would throw that quarter on your bed and that quarter would pop up and he would catch it in his hand. You delighted in that because you know you had pleased your training instructor. In those 8.5 weeks that you were in basic training, you depended, you desired, and then you began to delight in your training instructor. This morning, that is what it's like to be a Christian. We depend on the Word of God, we desire the Word of God, and prayerfully, when we mature, we begin to delight in the Word of God this morning. Peter wants us to know that we are a work in progress. Some of us are farther along than others, but we are all a work in progress, looking to become mature Christians. Peter writes this in chapter 2, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, and indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious." As I said, anytime you see a therefore, you need to go back and see why it's therefore. And in verse, chapter 1, verse 25, he talks about the enduring word of God, that the word of God endures forever. He also talks in chapter 1 about the blessings of the word, the blessings that we all enjoy, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God. And so when he's saying therefore, he's talking about all those things that we talked about earlier in chapter 1, the salvation, the joy, the sanctification, the promises that we have because of the enduring word of God. And if you understand that it's all because of that, then you should be depending on the word of God. There is no other way to mature in God other than to read and understand his word. And so we commit ourselves to the word of God. We commit ourselves to depending on the word of God this morning. Peter revealed that God continues to work on his people, where he describes the purification process in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. And he also describes the glory of our salvation in 1 Peter 10 and 12. And he closes out the chapter again about the importance of us being holy. And again, the only way that we get there is by depending on the Word of God. It is our anchor. It is our core. It is what we do, should do on a daily basis. Several times during the day, we should be in the Word, reading the Word. Our whole view of the world should be based on our understanding of the world, of the Word. Our whole being should be based on how we have taken in God's Word and how we respond to that. It controls how we respond to other people. Depending on the Word for salvation and the good news of Jesus Christ is why we're here this morning. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 says, "Since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of his message to preach to the saved those who would believe." The world has its own wisdom. The world has its own way of thinking and believing. But they come to different conclusions about things. We come to a conclusion based on the Word of God. I don't want to get political this morning. That's not my purpose. But I have a view on global warming that may not be the same view that you have. But my view is based on that I believe that God created this world and that he knew that when he told us to be fruitful and multiply, and that when he put fossil fuels, or however you want to describe them, into this world, he knew that man would discover them, and he knew that there would be certain consequences because of that. But he also had a plan for this world to continue, and he is dealing with that. Now, that doesn't mean that we can do anything and everything to destroy our world or destroy our environment. No, he gave us intelligence that we should do things in a way that preserves things. But I don't believe that man has the ability to destroy this world. That is God's realm. It's not our realm. Why do I believe that? Because I believe the Word of God. I come from a biblical worldview. And so when I discuss things with people who are non-believers, I always tell them that I am going to come from a position of Scripture. Now, you may not want to hear that, and so if you don't want to hear that, you probably don't want to ask me my advice on your situation, because it's always going to come from how I understand how the Bible discusses this. You're talking about divorcing your wife, then this is what I'm going to tell you based on how I understand God's Word. You're telling me that you're going to cheat on your taxes. I'm going to tell you what I understand, what God's Word tells me. You need to understand that if you want my advice, it's going to come because I depend on the Word. We depend on the Word. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of God confounds those who do not understand God's Word. But it is plainly spoken about salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is so plain, but the world will reject that as foolishness. But as believers, we have come to depend on the faithfulness of God and his faithfulness to his promises. We've come to depend on God's word because God tells us that his word completely equips us. 2 Timothy 3:15, we use this all the time. And we encourage people to study. Why? Because God says in that study, in knowing the scriptures, as Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, he says, your mom and your grandmother raised you in such a way that you understood the scriptures and they did a wonderful job with you. What a blessing that is to be raised by parents and grandparents who know the word of God and inculcate their children in that belief. And that was Timothy. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says this. He says, from your childhood you've known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise through faith. That word faith is all the way through. We believe because of our faith. There are things that I cannot prove. We've talked about that. Bill has given lessons on certainty. We are finite creatures and we do not have certainty. If we had certainty, we wouldn't need faith. But we have faith in the scriptures this morning. And that faith is able to make you wise through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that all scripture is given by the inspiration God breathed, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished for every good work. If you are not reading your Bible, if you are not in the Word, you are not thoroughly equipping yourself, you are not preparing yourself for every good work. When you leave the house in the morning, if you have not studied your Bible, if you've not read your Bible, if you are not reading Scripture, you're not equipped to deal with the things that are going on at work. You're not equipped to deal with the things that are going on at school. You're not equipped to deal with the situations that you come in contact when you're just driving down the road. We've talked about that so many times. When someone cuts you off, if you have not equipped yourself to be able to say, God bless you, instead of cursing, it's because you're not in the Word. You're not maturing. You're not allowing yourself, you're not allowing God to help you grow in His knowledge, in His grace. And that's who we are as a community of believers. We are to be a light in the world, but the only way that we're going to be that spiritual light is to do the things that the Bible tells us to do and to be totally dependent upon the Word of God to help us mature so that we don't act like people who have no relationship with God. And if we don't have a relationship with God, we don't have a relationship with one another. Not a spiritual relationship anyway. Our purpose is to be light, is to be salt, is to be influencers in the world. And to do that, we need to be totally dependent upon God's word. If we are going to mature this morning, we need to have an understanding that we are dependent upon the word of God. Look at verse 2 just for a second. We are newborn babes and we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Here, Peter refers to our spiritual birth, to be reborn. Jesus Christ was a leader in a movement that many were looking for something totally different. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And I've given you a different or alternative view of that. I know that most of the time we say Nicodemus came because he was embarrassed. He didn't want anyone to see him coming, so he came at night. But and that may be true. I'm not saying that it's not. But there's also an alternative view of that is that Jesus was always surrounded by lots of people. And if you want to have a detail and substance conversation with Jesus, when would you go to him? Would you go where he's surrounded by a lot of people? Or maybe you go at night when it's just going to be the two of you. And you can sit down and you can ask him some questions. Maybe Nicodemus was just wanting to say, you know, can I just have a few minutes of your time away from everybody else and so that we can discuss some things that I don't understand. And so he comes to Jesus at night and they have this discussion. Now, Nicodemus was a man that was educated in the Jewish law, and
he talks to Jesus about his understanding, and Jesus tells him that unless a man be born of water and a spirit, then he cannot inherit eternal life. And Nicodemus wants to know, how can a man, a grown man, be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb? And Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about being born spiritually. He's talking about understanding the scriptures. It's been said a couple of times this morning already. You see, Nicodemus had studied, and he had studied, but sometimes you need to study in community and have an understanding that the community can come to a better understanding. And you can read this and read that, and you are on this way, and someone can sit down and ask you a question, and it directs you in a different way. And that's what was happening with Nicodemus. He went to the source, Jesus as the Word, and he got a better understanding. We come together as community so that we can have a better understanding of God's Word. We come together as community so that we can help sharpen one another. We come to community so that when we leave here, we encourage one another to depend on the Word but have a good understanding of the Word and what it means to be born again. Picking up again at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world might be saved. Nicodemus is having a conversation with that Word. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said, we are to believe. We are to have faith. We are to have knowledge. The Greek word literally means that we are to entrust our mind to God's Word. If we are going to mature, we have to depend on God's Word. And that makes us a work in progress. Peter says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. The question for us this morning is, do we desire that? We have all kinds of desires because we are physical creatures. There are all kinds of desires that we have and that we act on. And many of those desires do not help us in our spiritual walk. But Peter says that we are to be as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow in the Word. This growth helps us deal correctly with those urges that are not profitable for us. He goes on to say that we should lay aside those things that are sinful. He says, lay aside those things that are full of malice, that are full of guile, that are full of hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. All those things do not profit you this morning. We have an understanding this morning that it is impossible for us as physical human beings to deal with sin apart from God. To deal with sin apart from God's Word. Our responsibility in this is to be in God's Word so that we can put up and help God build around us a hedge that we can deal with those things. In identifying those five things that we as fleshly men and women battle with, he says one of them is malice, which is the intention or desire to do evil. It is an ill will towards someone else. Maybe nobody in here has that temptation to do ill towards someone else, except when you're driving. He says that you need to deal with guile, which refers to deceitfulness. This means to trick or mislead someone. I'm sure no one has those tendencies this morning to be deceitful or mislead someone. He says that we need to do away with our hypocrisies. That is acting in a way that contradicts the beliefs that we state that we have this morning, who we are as Christians, that when we walk out of here after we've hugged and we've kissed each other, and then we go out there and there is nobody that we surround ourselves with that has any idea that you have a belief in God. That's wrong. That's guile. That's deceitfulness.
and the one that you're not deceiving, the one that you are not being a hypocrite with, is God, because he knows your heart. He says that you need to do away with the envying, that is, the desire to have possessions or characteristics of someone else. Many times, this attribute is what leads to guile and hypocrisy. They kind of work hand in hand. Peter says, get rid of that envying. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. I think there's a new TV series about that, Keeping Up with the Joneses. Why? Be happy what God has given you. And the fifth thing that he says, stop your evil speaking. Stop your evil speaking, slander, making false or damaging statements toward one another. This kind of person will say things to your face and be kind and smile and then turn away and run you down. We've all experienced this, and prayerfully, we do not participate in it. I remember a long time ago, someone was speaking ill of a person that we all knew, and one of the people in the group sat up and he says, you know, I know her, and I know right now she's not talking about you. She's not even thinking about you, so why are you talking about her? We need to have that type of attitude to put an end to evil speaking and not allow it to be part of our life. We need to desire the sincere word of God, and that means that we walk in obedience to God. We allow God to feed our spirit. We lay aside all those things that hinder us. 1 Peter tells us that we need to be sober in our actions. 1 Peter 1 says that we need to be obedient children of God. 1 Peter 1:14 says that we need to leave our former lust. Again, when I say that anytime there's a therefore, you need to go back and see why it's therefore, that's why it's there. Peter is saying, go back and look at what I talked about. These are the things that you need to add to your life and be part of your life. Because we are to be holy, 1 Peter 1:15. Then Peter continues on in chapter 2, how to achieve this holiness by laying aside all those five things that so easily entrap us. It's not just about desiring the sincere, it is a craving. Now I know that the women out there, and this, I'm not trying to be sexist, but those that have had pregnancies and any man that went out in the middle of the night because their wife wanted cherry ice cream and had to have it right now, you know what I'm talking about. It was a craving at that moment. It is a strong urge. We should crave the Word of God. And when we don't have the Word of God, it should weigh heavily on us. We should crave His Word. We should have a strong desire to read, to be able to call to memory verses that we need in certain circumstances when we're dealing with trials and tribulations that will help us and stand us in good stead with the Lord instead of giving in to those earthly urges. Crave the Word of God. But you can't crave something that you've never had. You can't crave something that you don't deal with. And so we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. It is a process. It will help us in our daily walk. Galatians 5:16 says this, that we should walk in the Spirit, and you shall not walk to fulfill the lust for the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary to one another. We need to have that understanding and continue to walk in God's Word. Christian growth is about learning more about what God wants through His Word. Jesus' brothers came to Him as they were heading back to Jerusalem. They were going through an area of Samaria, and there was a village in which they did not want to receive Jesus. And Luke recounts that James and John said, Master, should we call down thunder and lightning from heaven and destroy them?
Jesus, of course, rebuked him for that. He renamed them sons of thunder. And sometimes we forget that John, before he became the beloved disciple, was one of the sons of thunder. Well, how does John come from becoming a son of thunder to the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved, the one that writes about love? It is because he matured in the Word. Peter, who was so impetuous, how does he write the gospel of hope that he writes? He goes from cutting off Malchus's ear because he was in the Word of God and depended, desired, and delighted in God's Word. We are on a journey this morning, and we are being transformed. We are a work in progress, but the only way that work continues is if we continue to depend and desire the Word of God. And our third and final point this morning is about delighting in the Word of God. There was a study some time ago that said 90% of Christians say they desire to please and honor Jesus. But of that 90%, only 18% were daily Bible readers. 90% said they desire to do what God wants them to do, but only 18 of that 90% read their Bibles daily. You're not going to get there. You're not going to delight in the Lord unless you're willing to put in the work. The psalmist writes, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Peter says, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and when he really is saying, since you have tasted his graciousness, since you have tasted his love, since you have tasted his mercy, since you have tasted his love, don't you think you ought to desire to delight in his will as the Son of God did? To do his will before your will? This morning, as we progress to transforming in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we cannot get there without delighting in the will of God. Delighting in the will of God is that when you do something, not because it's going to benefit you in a way that you're going to profit, but you know that it will profit you spiritually and it will bring joy to your Father. It will bring joy to your Heavenly Father to delight in His Word, to delight in His pleasure. He talks about tasting the Word. When Scripture talks about tasting the Word, sometimes it's talking about tasting evilness. But this is about tasting the goodness of God, and that we want to taste the goodness of God. It is life to us. It is our joy. It is our grace. It is our salvation. And we are blessed by tasting its holiness. This morning, all of these things are part of the maturation process. We don't ever stop depending on God this morning. We don't ever stop desiring God's Word this morning. And prayerfully, we are at that point in our lives where we have that desire to delight and God's will, and God's purpose for us. That is how we mature. David, a man after God's own heart, continued to write in the psalm, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." He goes on to say that you must commit yourself to the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon him. Do not fret, for he who will prosper you on your way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, because it only causes harm. Do not fret, for it only causes harm. This morning, as we mature, it is important for us to understand that all three points, wherever we are on our journey, of transformation that they continue with us. We continue to depend on God's word every day. We continue to desire the pure milk of the word, and we always want to delight in God's will and how we live our lives that will bring joy to him. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, it is open to all. If you have a desire that you need to make be made known to the church, we invite you to come. Pray these things have been beneficial to you as we stand and sing the Lord's invitation song.